And Deepthi Lerone joins us now for a look at today's headlines in the press. And Deepthi, you're starting with Israel rejecting calls for a ceasefire on its northern front with Lebanon.
Yeah, that's right. Israel's bombing of Hezbollah strongholds in Lebanon has killed hundreds of people this week as fears, of course, of a regional war increase. Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, he flatly rejected those calls by the U.S., France and its allies for a 21-day truce in Lebanon. And he said Israel would keep fighting Hezbollah, quote, with all our power. His comments, of course, coming ahead of his address at the U.N. General Assembly this Friday. This is on the front of the Jerusalem Post, a conservative Israeli daily. Now, let's show you Haaretz, which is a center-left Israeli daily, one that's often very critical of Netanyahu. Well, in its editorial today, the paper says that Israel really needs to say yes to the ceasefire. It says that if there's any possibility of a diplomatic solution that could allow residents in the north to return home safely and remove the threat of Hezbollah, then Israel must accept it. The ceasefire could also advance negotiations on ending the war in Gaza and freeing hostages being held there for nearly a year now. You'll find similar words also from L'Orient Le Jour, that's the Lebanese French language daily here, echoing comments by the Speaker of the Lebanese Parliament, Nabi Berri, who said that the ceasefire is the only way out of this crisis.
And Benjamin Netanyahu's rejection of this ceasefire has, it seems, increased tensions with the United States.
Indeed, and that's the focus of this article from the Washington Post today here. His dismissal of that ceasefire has really frustrated and confounded the White House, according to the Washington Post, which says that, which quotes the Biden administration as saying that Israel had shown a willingness to agree to a temporary truce. In what was a pretty sharp rebuke, the White House accused Netanyahu of a, quote, bait and switch. They added that the statement wasn't drawn up in a vacuum and would not have been done if they had believed that it wouldn't be received with the seriousness with which it had been composed.
And we can move on to something a little lighter. The finalists of the Comedy Wildlife Photography Awards for 2024 have been unveiled.
Yeah, that's right, Oliver. This is a great competition. It's open to novices, to amateurs, to professional photographers, and captures animals in all states of hilarity. It's also a competition that supports animal conservation efforts. And this year, like every year, there is a very strong crop of finalists. So these are the finalists you have for 2024. The winner of the various categories will be announced by the end of the year. So you can see there you have lots of cute owls, a hippo, you have raccoons, you have squirrels. I picked out some of the ones that I really loved from that crop of finalists. This is a bear literally giving meaning to bear hug there, which is a very tender moment, very nice. You also have this crowd surfing penguin here, the seal as well. This is one that I really love, a seal in a state of uncontrollable laughter. We all wonder what he or she was laughing about so loudly. You also have this one, which is quite nice, a penguin punk gang, if you like. And just to show you a last picture here, this one I really love. Talk about being a third wheel there to this couple of lovebirds, Oliver.
Well, that's a not-so-flightless penguin there. And a French champagne maker has opened the first bottle of sparkling wine that it has produced on its estate in an unusual location, Kent, in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, that's right. This is in the Times of London today. It's the French champagne house Tétanger and its UK partners purchased this land in Chilham in the county of Kent in 2015. You know, it's a sad reality, but changing climates and temperatures means that champagne houses are now turning to new places to grow their grapes. This estate is a former apple and pear orchard. It opened its first bottle of sparkling wine. It can't be called champagne because that is a protected label for champagne that's produced in the region of Champagne. So it's called sparkling wine. In any case, the chalky soil of Kent is very similar to that of Champagne, which means that growing champagne is quite favorable there. And this project has been hailed as a partnership between Britain and France.
Well, they can't call it champagne, but there's nothing stopping them from calling it Chillum, which sounds like a very appropriate name for a cold, refreshing drink. Let's end on something completely different, though. A colour from the 1970s that could be making its comeback through interior design.
Yeah, that's right. Even if you didn't live in the 1970s, you're probably very familiar with this colour, having seen it in apartments and houses dating back to the 70s. It is that avocado green colour, a lime green, if you like, with bathrooms with matching toilets and sinks and bathtubs in the 70s that was, for a long time, maligned as a temple of bad taste. Well, like every good trend, good or bad, it's coming back. According to a survey cited by the Daily Telegraph, almost one in four 25 to 34-year-olds said they would use this color in a bathroom upgrade. One bathroom designer actually explained that it's not so much a color that's bad, it's more the overuse of it in the bathroom that made it quite hideous in the 1970s. You can count on millennials to give it a modern upgrade. These are more tasteful ways of using this avocado green color in your bathroom upgrade, if you so choose to use this color, making its comeback, Oliver.
Well, avocado is definitely one of the fruits of the moment, and now it could become one of the colors of the moment too.